Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Memories of a Reluctant Soldier by the Cold War Revisited by Dr. Bruce Conroe is a personal account of a draftee's Army life in the mid-1950s, when world events created great tension. A close look at a different time, also written for the benefit of younger generations, especially our children, and their understanding of the seemingly worldwide conflict between communism and democracy. Dr. Bruce Conroe is an educator as a teacher, counselor, and administrator, and retired as Vice Provost Emeritus of State University of New York College at Potsdam. He lives in the Saratoga Springs, New York area, and is involved in family and volunteer activities. And Dr. Bruce Conroe, author of Memories of a Reluctant Soldier, The Cold War Revisited, is our guest on This Week in America. Dr. Conroe, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you.
This is such an excellent book that you've read, and takes a part of history that I sort of remember, but brings it back, and you can sort of feel the emotions we were going through during that period of time. Talk a little bit about the time period you address. We're what in the mid-1950s that you're talking about here specifically, right?
Yeah, in 1955, I was drafted right out of the classroom that I was teaching in. I had kept my name away from the draft board, but I knew I was registered there, but it was not a bright thing to do. I should have told them that I was married now and various things. So I just got it. Just the day before Christmas, I got a card saying I was to report for duty in 2 weeks. So that meant we had to go back to Syracuse and tell my school that I couldn't be there any longer this year. And of course, they had to hold a job for me because that was the law in those days when you got drafted. So June 7th of 1955 is when I went on duty.
This story unfolds in Dr. Conroe's book, Memories of a Reluctant Soldier. You see now with the title Reluctant Soldier. His website is BruceConroe, CONROE.com. Book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. Talk about the mood of the country back in that period, 55 and 56. The Cold War is going on. What was it like in the country?
Well, things were pretty straight, but not. The Korean War took place from 1950 to 1953. So that had just ended, and other things were going on in the South Pacific, but people were watching what was going on in the world. At the same time, people in Congress were running investigations into people that they were pretty sure they were red, and that they were sneaking information to Russia.
Yes.
So there was a time of not trusting everybody openly. Now that's not true in the smaller size, like in the school and so forth where I was teaching. But in terms of the whole economy, it was a little scary when McCarthy got going with his investigations and putting people on the bad list, and all that stuff was really crummy.
And people worked hard for life with that, or had to spend years trying to get out from under the shadow that was inflicted upon them by McCarthy. So as you go back, it's an interesting history lesson as well, as you go back and understand what we went through. What was it like for you when you're drafted? Here is a war. We're in a Cold War situation. This is not an active war that we went through World War II, where there's an enemy and you know what the mission is. How did you feel being taken away from your life, totally relocating over to Germany? What was that like going through that period of being drafted in the life change?
Yeah, I wasn't reluctant about fighting battles if I had to, but I was. The reluctant part comes from the way I had 2 weeks and learned about it just before Christmas.
Yes.
To put everything in order, and for Barbara to go home to her parents' house and so forth. They could have done it a little bit slower so I could would have time to do it.
They were really moving rapidly through that period. The book is Memories of a Reluctant Soldier. Bruce Conroe is the author and our guest, C-O-N-R-O-E. We'll give you information where the book is available. Talk about what life was like during that two-year period, the experiences that you went through and being a member of the U.S. Army in Germany.
Things were up and down. Things were always happening. One of the biggest things that happened while I was stationed in Germany was the Hungarian uprising. And hundreds of Hungarians sneaked out of that country, including some bright people, got away from it. But we didn't know. My company was part of a group that was guarding the Czechoslovakian, it was called then, Czechoslovakian border with Germany, because if they saw, if the Czechs could see what was going on in Hungary, they might get the idea that, well, maybe they should go and expand their country over into Germany. So we had to have many practice runs. They had to figure out a way to get our dependents out of the country quickly if anything did break through. So it was a little bit scary in that regard, but in Germany, the German people weren't too worried about it. The prologue of my book describes a situation that was very real. We went on a practice run out of the back gate with our tanks and all that. I was in what's called an armored cavalry, no horses, but every man, because that's all there was in it then, every man was assigned onto a vehicle whenever everything happened and you moved on. But this one day when we went through a small village, and I can still see that woman's face. She was upstairs airing out her bedding, and she watched all these tanks go by her house, not knowing whether something really was happening or not. And she just had this face that just, you could read it right in her face that she was scared. But the Germans were very pleasant to us. They didn't have an army yet. By the time I left and came home in December of 1956, by then they were starting to, they had gotten their rights as a country back again. So they were forming an army. And the countryside was very nice. And so there were a lot of nice features about the whole thing on the one hand, but then there was all this scary background.
What was it like writing this book, Memories of a Reluctant Soldier, and going back in your mind and recalling these? You describe that lady as you were going by, looking out of the window, almost like it happened yesterday on your way home. It's still a vivid memory for you. What was it like going back and reliving these memories like that, and maybe some of the positive memories that came out of the time in Germany? What was it like for you writing this book?
First of all, we had to deal with all the military stuff that goes on with your life. Army or the Navy. The day we got drafted, a whole bunch of us, a lot of them from Massachusetts, came to Albany to be drafted also. And we found out that was the last date of the Korean GI Bill. So we didn't fight in Korea, but in the Army, it's your dates that you're there to determine whether you're part of it or not. So that was a sort of a lucky thing, because then guys could go back to college if they wanted to later.
Yes. This is sort of a slice of history that Dr. Conroe has talked about. I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but it's fascinating to hear these stories and for you to go back and relive these in your mind. Certainly had to be mixed emotions for you.
Yeah, I did all this out of my brain. Somebody said to me, you must have kept a diary or something. And I said, no, it's just all stored in my head. And it was kind of fun, but I had to look up some things, get some more information here and there. I actually started writing even before that, between the actual army life and actually writing it. In between, I went back to teaching math, and then I was, when I retired, I was asked if I would go to 7 countries in Southeast Asia and talk to students at the American high schools about our college and talk about our college? And I said, sure, I'll do that. And I sat in the hotel, and by then I thought I better get started if I'm ever going to do this. So I sat in my hotel in South Korea and wrote the names of the chapters and got that started. Then things began to fall into place, but I had to make up a system of my own. I couldn't borrow somebody else's because it wouldn't be the same thing.
Yes.
And then writing it and rewriting it and so forth. And I had friends who would reread it and see if they found errors. And our oldest son is now a writer also. And so is the youngest son, or he's turning out books. But it was kind of fun. And then I dug out all the photographs that I had on hand, and I still have them on hand. Interesting sideline is that now here it is about almost 70 years later, not quite, but a good friend of mine there, I was supply clerk in my in the I company, and he was in the H company, and got to be good friends, and he now lives down in lower New York State. He was doing some research on the Cold War, and he just pumped Cold War into Google, and out came a list of books, including this book of mine. So next thing I knew, I had a nice letter from him, and we've been in contact with each other a couple of times since.
Nice. A reunion that came out of the book. The book is Memories of a Reluctant Soldier. The author is Dr. Bruce Conroe, Conroe. Book available Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. The website is bruceconroe.com, and we've got all of that on our website as well. This book is a love story, and told so well, and the relationship you had with your wife, Barbara, goes back to what, the first day of school. Boy, talk about falling in love at a young age. Probably didn't even know what love was at that particular point in time.
It's the first day of kindergarten.
Of kindergarten, not even real school. Yes. It's kindergarten.
And years and years later, after she became my mother-in-law, Barbara's mother told me how she remembered that moment. Because I was hopping up and down as the third child in a family, and now it's my turn to go to the school, that she just thought I was cute because I was hopping all over the place.
And it's interesting because you didn't go to the same colleges, did you? You kept this relationship, I mean, all through school, and ended up married with a family.
Yeah. And I was a non-athlete, so I had to find other ways to be nice to people so that they might like me. But so I found out that I had the ability to come out and with short sentences and make people smile or laugh. And I thought, well, I'll just keep doing that. And they liked me. So that was good.
But it worked for you. And the book is a tribute to your wife. Talk about that and how that makes you feel that you're able to dedicate this to the memory of your wife and what she meant to you and your family.
Wonderful, because we did sit together even during grade school for 3 years because she kept holding a chair for me. and we were still good friends in junior high, it was called in those days. And then we were going steady. That's not considered anymore. Our last 2 years of high school, went to separate colleges, she to Northern Vermont and me to Southwestern New York. But every time we came home, we just got back together again. And then as soon as we graduated, we got married and went back to Alfred, where I was studying to get my master's degree, and then got started teaching. But what she did by coming to Germany, by then we had been on vacations at some point in between, and we were pregnant. We were. So she came over on the SS Stockholm, the one that a year later sank, the Andrea Doria, off Nantucket. That was her ship. And her mother wanted her to stay there, have the baby there, and be in this nice house, her mother doing the cooking, everything being done for her. And she said, no, I have to be with Bruce. I don't want him to not see his first child until the child is 1 year old. So she came over on the ship on September 8th, I think it was, in in 1955.
Okay.
But I had to, because of our army job guarding that border, especially once the Hungarian thing started, I had to be very close to the post to get there when there was an alert, a practice alert. And so the only thing we could find to live in were houses right next to the fort, just about. So we lived in three different places. The first one had no running water, an outdoor outhouse.
Outhouse, yes.
Yes. Nice people, but they took us in, and their children slept in different corners of their part of the house. And that worked for a while until February 1956. There, I finally got it right. But it was so cold. Years later, a guide on one tour we were on told us that that was the coldest winter in that whole century in Europe. Ice formed on the inside of the wall, and by now we have our baby. He was born on the 7th of December.
Okay.
I think the name of it. Anyway, so she came over and we lived in this. We were in a bedroom upstairs, and we had to make it into a quote an apartment, unquote.
Wow. Yes.
So we got some furniture from the army, and we divided the room up into three parts with our clothesline. We had no hot running. We had no running water, let alone hot. So for that time, until we came home in December of 56, she was washing everything, including her clothes, by hand. Mine could go to the quartermaster laundry, but hers, of course, you could not
do
anything wrong there. So I said, we've got to get out of this place. They're very nice people, but this isn't good for us. But we have to stay close to the company. So the word got out on the post that we were looking for this place, and somebody came back to me and said, there's a guest house right out the back of the fort. A guest house is a pub in Germany talk. And of course, Germany had all sorts of nice beer. Germany also had a wonderful conversion of money. $1 was equal to 4 marks. So if we went out to dinner, which we did after Scott got big enough to sit in his seat on the restaurant, and we'd hand him a Bavarian roll to chew on, we would have dinner, and it might be 10.50 marks. That meant the whole thing was $2.50.
Amazing.
So we couldn't have any trouble with that. So we moved into this place. These people, the Germans, were very active after the war of rebuilding their country. And this family built this place. It was a basement with living quarters and then 3 stories higher. But they lived up there, but the basement was an apartment, so we took that. That was a little bit better. We now had a cooking coal stove.
Ah, fantastic.
For this whole time, Barbara had to deliver. She had to be home because we didn't have a car or anything. She had to keep the fire going in the stoves, or there wouldn't be any heat at all. So her hands got cracked from doing the dish during the washing and drying out her hands. And then filling in with dust from the coal.
Oh, yes.
It also turned out that the East Germans were holding back on some of their coal and not shipping it over just to be
noticed. Yeah.
Just to be noticed.
Well, your wife was a very special person. And again, the book is dedicated to her.
So we lived in that place, and that was very nice. It even had furniture already in it and a cooking stove. But still no running. Oh, yeah, there was running water outside our door. That worked out quite well. And there was an ice box down there, half a foot full of beer. Then in September of the last year we were there, there was a young couple, younger than us, waiting for their first baby. And they were living in a 2-room apartment in the backyard. It was a separate building that contained a huge place for them to do their laundry. But this young couple, we felt so badly. They were suddenly whisked away and sent back to the United States. Their baby was born early and was dead at birth. And both of these kids' parents did not know they were expecting a baby. They just hadn't told them. So here they are on a plane coming home, and the parents are probably wondering, what's this all about? Well, they had a baby, and the baby was dead. So we could move into that. Oh, this is really a great, because now we had a bigger cooking stove with a section in it that you could fill with water, and it would warm up during the day as the fire cooked away. So we were pretty good shape, and by then we bought a car and we could drive around. We went on a vacation in the Bavarian Alps. What else did we do? Went over to Ulm, ULM, where a friend of ours from high school was stationed. He and his wife were there, so we got to do a lot more things then. We couldn't do much about going out of the country and into another country because, as a soldier, I did not have a passport, number one. And number two, Scott, the baby, was put on Barbara's passport, and that all worked very well. And there was plenty to see in Bavaria, and things to do at the base. So it was a pretty good situation.
What an amazing story. And it all unfolds in Dr. Conroe's book, Memories of a Reluctant Soldier, The Cold War Revisited. His website is BruceConroe, CONROE.com. Book available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. I thank Racket Creatives for setting up our interview today, doing marketing with Dr. Conroe on this book. The book, again, Memories of a Reluctant Soldier. The doctor will be back with us to tell you. He talked about travel there a little bit. We're talking about his travels in his next interview with us, Beyond the Horizon. Looking forward to that. Dr. Conroe, thank you for joining us on the program. What a remarkable story, and it brings back so much. It's a love story. It's a history lesson. Takes us back to that time in history during the mid-1950s, what it was like. And the Cold War that we hear a lot about now as we're going through present circumstances with Russia and even to an extent with China. Thank you for joining us on the program. We'll look forward to having you back with us.
You're welcome. I still can't get over how love was what made us survive, and humor.
Well, yes, and you've got both of those, love and humor, and the love part started the first day of kindergarten and lasted a lifetime. It's just an amazing story.
Yeah, we were married 54 years when she died.
Well, so sorry to hear that, but what remarkable memories and the children, and this book is your legacy and great reading for all of us who really only know you through the book. But for family members, it's a chance to understand what a special bond you had and the impact that had on the family. Our guest has been Dr. Bruce Conroe, C-O-N-R-O-E, the book Memories of a Reluctant Soldier, The Cold War Revisited. His website, BruceConroe.com, and the book available, of course, Amazon, the usual places. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.